If you have a child with type 1 diabetes, whether they were diagnosed 5 days ago or 5 years ago, you continue to have questions. These are the questions about the emotional side of living with diabetes, the questions about how to parent diabetes. I'm Joanne Robb, a psychotherapist and fellow T1D mom, and I've been parenting diabetes for almost 15 years. In this podcast, I'm here to answer your questions about the emotional and relational challenges that come with being a caregiver for a child with type 1 diabetes. Before we dive in, I have to remind you that I'm not a doctor and nothing that I offer here should be considered medical advice. If you want to make any changes to the way you or your child is managing their type 1, please be sure to check in with your doctor or medical team. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Today I am here with Kaylor Glassman again. She has been on the show a few times with me to read questions that come in from listeners. And she started a group called Diabetes Support Partners that works to help parents, adult children who are recently diagnosed with type 1. And Kaylor has diabetes and has had it since, Kaylor, how long?
Since I was 2 years old, so a long time.
Right, your whole life, more or less. Kaylor's going to read the question from our listener and we'll go from there.
All right, so today's question says, my son was diagnosed a few months ago, and I know that the risk is higher for my other kids, but I feel nervous about testing them for markers. I got the kit to do the testing on them, and then I just threw it out. What should I do? I feel so torn. From Conflicted in Albany, New York.
That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, I think this is a common struggle that parents have.
Yeah, of course, right? Because they feel like they don't want to be on repeat with the trauma that they just had with their first diagnosis, right?
Absolutely.
It's really painful. So I want to start by naming that I was in this position. And one of the things that I know is that this mom is really new to this. And it's hard to even think about adding more to your plate when you're only a few months into diagnosis. So my story was that my son was diagnosed and we're in the hospital and the nurse comes in from TrialNet and says, you might want to test your other kids. And I thought, hell no, I do not want to test my other kids. That sounds like a nightmare. I can barely wrap my arms around what I've got on my plate right now. And at that moment, the only reason you were testing your other kids was to know and for the sake of science. There was nothing you could really do. About 9 months later, we were at camp. And at camp, they had the opportunity for us to test. And first of all, because it was right there and we were all right there, that made an easier decision. But also, I had my arms wrapped around it a little bit more, right? And so I did test my other kids. And back then, TrialNet used to do annual testing. And so when I tested them again, my baby, who at first test was 1 and the second test was 2, went from 0 markers to 3 markers. Right. And at that time, we could do nothing because she was only 2. But when she became 3, we could enter her into a trial. And so her diagnosis was completely different than my son's diagnosis. So I want to name that there are some very good reasons to do the testing. But this mother who wrote in, this parent who wrote in and saying, I'm a few months in, I feel like give yourself a opportunity to feel like you've got this a little bit more in your bones, because it's really hard to want to do all the things right when you start. So that's my instant reaction is like she needs a minute to get her feet under her. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, one of the great things about this decision is it doesn't have to be made right now, right? Yeah. You can give it some space and some time. And I agree, a few months in, there's so much other stuff going on with just handling the diagnosis that a question that's this big, rightfully so, deserves some time and space, and it doesn't need to be rushed into at this exact minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I also think, I know that JDRF is working with, I don't remember with who, but they're working on some like AI modeling to figure out when the best time is to test your kids, because apparently there are times when you're more likely to catch markers. And so, you know, right now it's not critical, right? It's a bit of a moving target. You're going to need to probably retest your siblings a few times. So it's not, the immediacy is not there, right?
Yeah, and maybe we should talk a little bit about what are some of those reasons that parents might want to get their child tested. Like in this day and age, what are some of the benefits or things that people should be aware of in terms of testing their other children?
So the benefit really, there's some practical benefits, but I think there's really, it's really the way that diagnosis would happen, right? So for all of us, pretty much, for our, if we have multiple children for our first child, but most people fortunately only have one child with diabetes, for all of us, diagnosis was a pretty big trauma, right? It's an event. We didn't really see it coming, and it hit us hard, and our kids were in the hospital. That counts as trauma. Like, there's no way to avoid that. That's what that is the definition of, and that's pretty big. And one of the practical reasons that it could be important to test your other kids is because the diagnosis will not look like that, right? You won't be surprised. You'll know, and you'll be sliding into it because there's a lot of support for people who have some markers. And in fact, there's a product on the market now where if you have two or more markers and signs of irregular blood sugars, right, like out of range and erratic blood sugars, then you become eligible to for a drug called Tzield, which is it's given intravenously, and you go every day to the hospital or the doctor's office or wherever for 14 days, but it delays the onset of diabetes. But I think the average is 2 to 3 years. That's a pretty big shift from where I was with my daughter to today, which is, let me think. She's been diagnosed for 12 years, right? So over the course of this 12 years, we have this miracle where we can delay onset. Who knows in that delay period how much other new discovery and technology there'll be to help even further for people who are in that pre-diabetes stage, pre-type 1 diabetes stage. So I think on the practical level, but even if you choose not to do Tzield, right, which I think some parents find the idea of taking their kid every day to be pretty overwhelming. I get that. Even if you choose to not do that, because I didn't have that as an option, you're going to get closer monitoring, right? So you're going to have some kind of support. You're going to talk to your child's endocrinologist. You're going to talk to TrialNet to see what kind of support there is. And so there's not going to be a hospitalization, and there's not going to be the big trauma that comes with a hospitalization. And so that counts for a lot, right? For us and our kids.
Absolutely. And I think we should also probably mention, just from at least my personal experience, that from knowing a lot of families who have chosen to go through TrialNet and get their the siblings tested, that it's still not perfect either. I've known families who've gotten all the markers and their child, is now an adult and still doesn't have type one. And there's been a lot of emotional turmoil and waiting for that diagnosis that still hasn't happened, both for the child and the parents. And then on the flip side, people who've said that their child has, there's no markers present, and by the next summer they have type 1 diabetes. So it's still for sure being worked on. So either way, I think it's important for people to know that this wouldn't, just because your child comes back with no markers, that doesn't mean that that means they're never going to get type 1.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's a very good point. And I think it's painful to do something that's this big and have to hold it so tenderly and lightly, right? So, absolutely. I have a niece who was tested probably back when my son was diagnosed, and that was 15 years ago. And she has four markers and still hasn't been diagnosed, right? So that
Wow.
is a possible. It's she's also a unicorn, right? Like, that's unlikely statistically. And yes, my daughter was totally clear 1 year and had three markers the next year. But we did have a window where her pancreas was failing, right? So again, there wasn't the trauma. So yes, absolutely. This is not a bulletproof system. And so you have to be willing to hold lightly everything that happens and just treat it as the data that it is, which can be tricky.
Absolutely. And I think that could be tricky for the parents, of course, but also depending on the age of these siblings, that could also be a lot for them to hold and carry as well, for them to know that, that they have all these markers for type one. And, as a child, that could be a lot to be watching your sibling go through this and knowing that that's going to also happen to you. And there could be some benefits to that kind of ease in process, but it could also be a lot to ask of a child as well.
Yeah, so I think it's really important how you talk to the child about it, right? I had a mom who recently was asking me about her child came back with markers, and he was a freshman in high school. And what we came to is that it might be best to say, you know, we're just watching you more closely right now, and not say you have these number of markers and this is the risk factor that you've got and all these things, but just to say right now we're watching you more closely. Right? Because I don't think that it's fair to ask our children to hold that. So part of the decision about testing is how can we feel contained and how can we manage this? Because this is not something we want to push off onto our children. It's very important for us to protect our children and not make it bigger and bigger for them so that they feel anxious. To just make them feel actually instead like we're taking good care of them. Like we're watching to make sure that nothing bad happens. As opposed to something bad is coming. Because the bad thing you're preventing from happening is the trauma of diagnosis. Because that won't happen because you know what it is, because you're going to know exactly what pump to put on them. You're going to know when to start that process. You're going to be in a conversation with an endocrinologist or diabetes specialist who you already know. So there's no trauma there at the diagnosis the way there was with your first child. And so we have to protect the sibling, if they do have markers, from the drama that we probably will feel. I certainly did with my daughter. I felt very, very sad, but I needed to manage that on my own. And I didn't tell her anything. She was 2 years old. I didn't say a word. We just, you know, went ahead and we would go. It was funny that the study person who we worked with, because she was in a trial, taking oral insulin, and they would check. She'd do an oral glucose tolerance test, and I'd say, "We're going to Betty's house," and we'd watch a lot of movies. And she had an IV lock in her arm, and we just made it as normal as we could, right? She didn't know exactly what that meant at that age.
Those are really good points. I probably can back to our question here of somebody with their son only a few months in. I think that's also probably a good consideration for this parent is are they in the in a place where they would be able to hold that for their child and potentially not a couple months into diagnosis.
Absolutely not. I would think if they were, they're some kind of superhuman, right? Because I think that first year is so hard. And so, yeah, some grace here for yourself as the parent to say, I can't do this right now. Maybe I can do it later. I know it's out there. I know I need to pay attention to it, but it's too much for me to hold emotionally to even think about right now. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so Joanne, what would you recommend to this parent? This is such a big decision. So, I'm curious as someone who's gone through this before, but also just with your wealth of knowledge, what would you recommend here?
Well, first with this parent, I would say give yourself some time, right? Like it's so fresh. Know that put it on your to-do list, but maybe for not for right now. But I do think that most parents have a similar anxiety. Like I don't think that just because they're further along, I think a lot of parents want to close their eyes and kind of turn away and avoid having to face this potential monster. And what I want to say is knowledge is power. Because if you know it's coming, you have choices you can make. And otherwise you're kind of potentially caught off guard. And it is painful to know in advance, but at least you get to make decisions. And obviously, this is my opinion, right? Like everybody gets to make their own decision about what they want to do in their family and what they feel like they can manage. But I really believe that the second diagnosis does not look like the first diagnosis. And what keeps a lot of parents from wanting to do that testing is because they're worried it's going to be the same. And it isn't the same. You have a lot more control, you know a lot more. The learning curve is really different, it almost doesn't exist. And so it is more manageable in lots of ways. In fact, there's just a lot more room for the grief that you have it, that your child has it, that it's come to you again in your family, but you still have more control. So I would say, and I come from a knowledge is power, like you get to make decisions, and that is important. So those are my thoughts about it.
That's really great. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Kayla, for being on the show today. I really appreciate you being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening today. If you want answers to your questions about parenting a kid with type 1, I'd like to invite you to join our live recording sessions so you can ask your questions in person. Not only will you get the support you need and deserve, but through the podcast, you'll be helping other T1D parents to know that they're not alone with the challenges they're facing. To join one of my live recording sessions, simply go to www.diabetessweettalk.com and click the banner at the top of the page to register. Again, go to www.diabetessweettalk.com and click the banner at the top of the page to register.